Hour News. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens, local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the Midday News for Thursday, March 22. I am Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, DPSU President Steve Joseph defends the rights of diaspora workers. St. Kitts Nevis launches a new citizenship fund entitled the Sustainable Growth Fund to boost investments. And President Trump sets a May 12 deadline as U.S. prepares to leave Iran deal, even as talks with Europe continue. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited and Fast Cash.
March Madness continues at Courts with Late Night Madness. Shop on March 23rd from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. and get ridiculous low discounted products like the Camellia 7-piece dining set. Now only $1,399. Save $1,400. Or doorbusters starting from only $2. Courts must be crazy. Courts, mad again. Courts bringing value home.
Are you interested in traveling the world? How about doing some home renovations? Or maybe you'd like to upgrade your business for maximum profitability? Then it sounds like you need Fast Cash. Well, Dominica, we're here for you. Come into Fast Cash to apply for your loan today. Whether you need a consumer-based or business loan, we're located at 1921 King George V Street, Rosa Dominica, and on the corner of Bay Street and Hillsborough Street, Portsmouth. Telephone 488-3278. Smarter, faster, better. Fast Cash.
Dominican political scientist Alex Bruno has deemed the address made by Prime Minister Roosevelt's carriage as insensitive. He agreed that some of the concerns expressed by the Prime Minister on March 16 regarding the diaspora workers' protest were illegitimate but contradictory.
The concerns are noted, but it's what can be termed as an emotional appeal or an appeal to the emotions of the people at the time, because that is classic politics right there. Yes, of course, the legitimate claim and presented in a very interesting way, but I'm not too sure this is going to hold for him, because I've heard other statements coming from him and his supporters which suggest that we are doing well or better than we should be doing at this time. So I think in terms of the people's reaction, we will see what goes on the ground. But from me, as a patriot and someone who understands politics, I don't think that he got the better of the exchanges with those statements that he made. If he had made those statements outside of the union strike for representation in terms of the workers on the port, probably. But he also attacked the workers. He reproached the workers saying that they got off. And the other thing that he did not understand also is that the workers themselves, that the people who were suffering in the same way that he made the stoke, he basically contradicted himself somewhat by saying that there are people who are homeless and roofless, but the port workers too fall in that category of people also. And he also mentioned that they are benefiting in ways that other people benefit also. So I think it was a little iffy in that special area. The fact that there was the double bubble for staff, for public workers, that I remember was a major talking point for weeks. That people are going to get extra money, like twice their salary, and the money that will pay to the farmers. So I think in terms of, and I agree that these were good initiatives, but you cannot have it all. If you're doing that and you're claiming that, you cannot now come and tell the port workers that this cannot be done for them and when it's done for other people. So that dismisses those claims, the emotional appeal, I believe, that was made. And it further emphasizes the point that he does not belong to that conversation, at least not now.
President of the Dominica Public Service Union, Steve Joseph, has sought to defend the rights of diaspora workers against the recent statements made by Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerritt and Attorney Anthony Astafan that the protest action taken by diaspora workers on 16th March was illegal. While speaking on the DPSU show on Q95 Wednesday, Joseph said the workers were within their rights, the protest action achieved the desired result, and the action taken by the port workers is not illegal. The DPSU president also warned that misleading statements by governmental officials or government officials will not lead to a peaceful resolution in negotiations.
The level of rhetoric that you see helps no one, actually, neither the employer nor the union. So you have placed it in context, and the right to protest, and that has been a right that we've enjoyed for years, and we cannot forget our history, not too far back. We embrace that to ensure that people's rights are defended. And the port officers who have been working extremely hard since Erica, and then followed by Maria, because this is the entry through which every pound of relief comes. And these employees have been working extremely hard. They too have that right to enjoy the benefits that's due to them.
Director General of the Dominica Red Cross, Jaslyn Salmon, says 6,000 persons have benefited from emergency supplies since the passage of Hurricane Maria. Red Cross Dominica distributed supplies to families who were in dire need following the hurricane.
But in addition to that, we have had two cash transfer programs, each of 1,000 persons. We provide $450 per person for 1,000 persons up to the end of February. And since the beginning of March, we are providing another 1,000 persons with cash transfer again to the amount of $450 per person. In the first sense, we provided that mainly to assist them in coping with the emergency. In the second phase, we're providing that so that they can use it to assist them in repairing their homes and so on, and whatever other needs they may have in the past.
Meantime, Dr. Salmon says 2,000 families benefited from the emergency cash grant from the Dominica Red Cross. The emergency grant is ongoing. However, it is expected to come to an end by the end of March.
As the OECS...
And we will bring you that clip in a subsequent newscast. Telecommunications Minister Kelva Darrow wants the Eastern Caribbean Telecommunications Authority, ECTEL, to ensure that governments respond appropriately during disasters in member states. He made that call on Tuesday as ECTEL presented $350,000 to Dominica. $200,000 will go towards the National Telecoms Regulatory Commission, NTRC, and $150,000 to the government of Dominica for housing in the St. Joseph area.
As the OECS regulatory arm, may I suggest that ECTEL seeks to not only respond to funding gestures such as these after disasters, but to look at ensuring governments strictly adhere to and enforce the provisions of the Tampa Convention on Emergency Telecommunications in all jurisdictions in member states in keeping with the mandate to ensure, one, reliable, rapid availability of telecommunication resources for disaster mitigation and relief operations. Two, to facilitate international cooperation to mitigate the impact of disasters. And three, to facilitate the effective, timely deployment of telecommunication resources that rapid, efficient, accurate, and truthful information flows are essential to reducing the loss of life, human suffering, damage to property, and the environment caused by disasters.
Meantime, he says legislation needs to be introduced to enable service providers to unite in the interest of all customers during a disaster.
I would further recommend that since telecommunication services are so fundamentally critical before, during, and after any natural disaster, that legislation and certain regulations be looked into for the facilitation of a unified and resilient network for use by all subscribers, irrespective of service provider's platform, particularly where two or more competing networks are operational in any member state, for the preservation of life, property, and to safeguard the security of the state through adequate and reliable communications. And that simply means in Dominica, we have the two main service providers, Flo and Digicel. And as a minister, I think it is important that during a disaster, these service providers, they are able to share equipment to ensure that if one service provider has the towers up, you as a subscriber, because you are not subscribed to that particular service provider, you won't be denied. But we can quickly move the process forward so that they can utilize the same towers and you can have communication restored to consumers who may not be subscribed to that particular service provider, and that is critical. A harmonized network in the interest of subscribers in the state would be the most prudent thing to do in such a time of disaster.
Still on the local scene, President of Dominica, Charles Savara, says Dominica is looking forward to continuing relations with the Republic of Finland in the areas of green energy, education and meteorology. His comments were made as Finland's new ambassador to Dominica, His Excellency Jukka Pentikäinen, presented his credentials yesterday. Mr. Savara said Dominica is hoping to be afforded the opportunity to collaborate and benefit from Finland's expertise in climate change resilience, communication, technology, electronic engineering and mass communication. He also applauded Finland's interest in exploring new areas of cooperation with the OECS.
Also noteworthy is the keen interest indicated by Finland to explore new areas of cooperation with the OECS, particularly in the area of education. It is hoped that ongoing discussions between Finland and the OECS secretariat will be successfully concluded and that an agreement will be reached. This new development would contribute greatly to our youth's socioeconomic development and advancement. Your Excellency, cooperation in climate change, resilience, and renewable energy is a major priority for Dominica. As small island developing states, Dominica and the rest of the Caribbean are particularly vulnerable to natural disasters due to climate change phenomena, and hence we gladly welcome the focus of Finland in assisting small island developing states in developing their resilience to climate change and natural disasters and to exploring their potential in renewable energy development.
Savara told the new ambassador that government is committed to becoming 100% renewable energy reliant for generation of electricity.
In our effort to reconstruct Dominica as possibly the first climate resilient country, government has identified several critical sectors for intervention to include green energy. Perhaps one of the most difficult challenges impacting negatively on our economic development is the high cost of electricity. To overcome this challenge, the government has placed its focus in the area of renewable energy and is committed to making Dominica the first country to become 100% renewable energy reliant for the generation of electricity by harnessing our considerable geothermal potential. Your Excellency, Dominica looks forward to benefiting from regional programs which have the potential to make a transformational impact on our economy and to strengthen the resilience of our infrastructure to withstand natural disasters whose frequency and intensity are on the rise.
Health Minister Dr. Kenneth Darrow calls for an end to discrimination associated with people suffering from Down syndrome and says that society must give them an opportunity to contribute to the community. His comments come as Dominica joins the rest of the world in the observance of Down Syndrome Day celebrated Wednesday under the theme, What I Bring to My Community.
In many countries, persons with Down syndrome have continued to face stigma and discrimination, as well as legal, attitudinal, and environmental barriers that hinder their participation in their communities. Today, the world reaffirms that persons with Down syndrome are entitled to the full enjoyment of all human rights and fundamental freedoms, disapproving the stigma and discrimination they continue to face. They should be allowed to be a part of our workforce and educational systems, where they can be allowed to socialize and interact better with others through sporting activities which will be geared at their abilities and levels to actively be involved. These individuals should be part of the policy-making process which will be beneficial to them. Currently in Dominica, there are approximately 50 persons living with this condition, and the Ministry of Health and Environment remains committed in its collaboration with the Down Syndrome Society, Inc. Over the past 6 years, we have collaborated in conducting various activities in raising awareness among the public by assisting in training programs, public awareness, educational campaigns, and developing a registry of people living with Down syndrome.
And Minister for Kalinago Affairs and Parliamentary Representative for the Kalinago Territory, Cassius Daru, says his people have come a long way and now they can boast of a vast range of human capital, which can now be used to develop the Kalinago Territory and Dominica by extension. While he has applauded the efforts of these men and women who have made Dominica proud through their skills and services within the city and throughout the country, he's hoping, however, that these same people can come on board in helping to assist the Kalinago Territory.
We have, for example, we have seven agronomists coming from Venezuela. And these are people who went to study under the Dominican Labour Party. We had people going to UWI. We have graduates from Cuba. In fact, Dr. Frederick, well, although was not sent by this current administration, but he's one of the Cuban graduates, and he's one of the top surgeons at the Princess Margaret Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
We have Dr. Thomas. We have Dr. Ehrlich. And just yesterday I met with Dr. Laville, who just came from Cuba. And if he's listening, I want to congratulate him on his mileage so far.
Mm-hmm.
And we expect for him to move forward still and specialize in something that we continue to serve this country. All the doctors at the hospital that I've mentioned, we really need them in the Kalinago Territory. But because of the bigger service to country, they're serving at the National Hospital, the Princess Margaret Hospital. We have Dr. Warrell Sanford, for example. I'm subject to correction, but I believe he's the only dermatologist on island. We have a lot of other doctors.
Daru says what is required by all these highly trained men and women is greater collaboration in order to make the Kalinago Territory shine brighter. He says coming together is one of the hindrances. However, he believes this can be remedied.
Soon we will have other doctors coming in. We have the daughter of the Kalinago chief, mm-hmm, being a magistrate.
Mm-hmm.
And we have other local attorneys. We have other attorneys from the Kalinago Territory. Miss August, for example, is from the Kalinago Territory.
Yes.
I think 2 years ago, we had one of our Kalinago brothers becoming the first Kalinago pilot.
Yes.
We have people who are currently studying to become engineers. We have one of my Kalinago brothers in China,
mm-hmm,
who is studying to become an engineer. We have Kalinago brothers who are currently pursuing other course of studies. So if you call on the Kalinago Territory to give you a lawyer now, we are able to give you more than one. And if you need a doctor, we can give you more than five. And one of Mr. Williams' daughter is also a pilot.
Oh, wow. That's
so
nice.
We have several, not only one.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a vast pool of human capital in the Kalinago Territory. My only thing is that sometimes the cooperation required is not there.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that's something that we must work on, because at the end of the day, we are in for collective development and not one man trying to develop the territory and he can do it all by himself alone. So we really must do it collectively.
In other news, the world's first citizenship by investment program in St. Kitts and Nevis has launched a new fund, the Sustainable Growth Fund, to boost investment in the Caribbean nation. Touted as the platinum standard in an accelerating industry, the St. Kitts and Nevis Citizenship by Investment Program has long been considered a forerunner in the industry, known for its rigid and robust processes and vetting procedures. The Sustainable Growth Fund will be more affordable than the previous ongoing fund, the Sugar Industry Diversification Foundation, with a price point of $150,000 for a single applicant and $195,000 for a family of four. And U.S. officials are taking a two-track approach to the Iran nuclear deal, negotiating with allies to make changes demanded by President Donald Trump, even as they prepare to walk away from the international agreement. Trump set a May 12 deadline, the next date by which he has to waive sanctions against Iran or leave the deal, for the U.S. and its European allies to agree on changes to address what he sees as its flaws. The president's thinking, officials say, is that if the U.S. and Europe are united on amending the deal, the other signatories, Russia and China, will come along and Iran will have no choice but to comply. And that's the midday news, but first a recap of the headlines.
Cue to top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens.
President of the Dominica Public Service Union, Steve Joseph, defends the rights of diaspora workers. St. Kitts and Nevis launches a new citizenship fund. And President Trump sets a May 12 deadline as U.S. prepares to leave Iran deal. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited and Fast Cash. I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.
Top of the hour news. As it happens.